We're continuing to look at the phases of the life of Caleb, a life that is marked by faith right from the very beginning. We find Caleb at a very strategic time in the history of Israel as they were about to embark on the conquering of the land of Israel, or the land of Canaan, and would become the land of Israel. And at that time, 12 spies were sent into the land to scope it out, and they were ready to go and claim the inheritance that God had for them. Unfortunately, 10 men came back. These were all heads of the tribes. They were the leaders, not the top leaders, but key men of influence, and they were good men, but 12 did not have faith. Came back and gave an evil report, even though they admitted this was an amazing land, and they persuaded the people to rebel against God. Only two believed that God could overcome the powerful cities and people within the land of Canaan, and that, of course, was Caleb and Joshua. These two men were 40 years of age, and we looked at the events surrounding that time and how these two men stood boldly, believing that God would work, and God honored both of them. And everyone 19 years of age and younger would be able to survive the wilderness, but everyone 20 years of age and older would be consumed by the wilderness in the next 38 years. And this is recapped by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He goes over this and he speaks of how Caleb was all in. He fully followed the Lord his God. And Joshua did. And so in Deuteronomy chapters 1 and 2, as they're preparing to go into the land and believe God to give it to them, they are reminded of the unbelief. And remember, this new generation had been to a lot of funerals over 38 years. Every parent, older siblings, they had buried all of them. They had all died. But there were two men. They had not been buried yet, Caleb and Joshua. And these men were now 80 years of age. They were 40 at the time. And so into the land they go. And what a tremendous victory as we read in Joshua those first few chapters. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 14, we're now going to see what happened after the main conquest occurred. And Joshua leading the nation of Israel, Moses had been taken by the Lord, and Caleb, one of the key men, he was a soldier. He fought right alongside of everyone else, and what a miracle that was at his age. And so this is a very encouraging and yet challenging event here for us to look at. A new resident of Greenwich, Connecticut, where the Secretary of the Treasury at that time, Robert B. Anderson, had a home, asked the Secretary, who had been his friend for a number of years, if he could use his name as a reference for credit. He promptly gave permission for that. But this man's wife drew a complete blank when she gave Anderson's name to the credit manager there at a Greenwich store. The credit man said, "Who is he?" "Well, he's the Secretary of the Treasury," said the lady. The credit manager didn't unfreeze at all. And then she added, "Oh, yeah, he is the director of the Greenwich Trust Company." "Oh, that's different," he exclaimed. "Why didn't you say so in the first place?" My friends, that knowing of that man pales into total insignificance when it comes to the fact that we know the one who has made a promise to us, promises to us of an inheritance, of a purpose, of a plan for our lives. And we can call upon his name to have the fullness of our inheritance given to us. And we see that kind of heart and attitude. Now, let me give you a little background here. Chapter 14 begins the distributing of the land among the tribes. And you'll see here right at the very beginning of this allotting of the different land that Judah clearly is given a favorable place. And in fact, God speaks in chapter 10 of God's divine intervention on their behalf. And right at the beginning of this comes Judah, as we'll see here in chapter 14, and Caleb with his request. And so Judah was very important. And we know in later years that the southern kingdom, which was primarily Judah, would be the last part of Israel standing after the Assyrian conquest. And so God's hand was upon Judah. Now, think with me. There's a couple of important things about the tribe of Judah. Who came through the line of Judah? David and Jesus Christ. All right? Judah, at the story of Joseph, and I don't have time to get into it, Judah totally got things settled with God, you can tell. And he became a spokesman for all of the other brothers. He began to get a heart for his father and a repentant spirit. And because of that, he and his brother Joseph, I believe they had quite a relationship. And the two of them were the major two tribes. Think about it. Ephraim was the tribe of Joseph, and Joshua, I'm getting that mixed up a little bit there. But Caleb was of Judah, which was the key tribe in the nation of Israel because of that. So that's just an interesting note here. In fact, let's put up the map here for a moment. And the first one I have shown you before, and you see the different conquests of Israel. And you see the conquest to the north, you see it around in the center section, that was the first one. And then you have the southern, and it ends at, if you can see there, let me see up on it, you can see it ends at a place called Hebron, okay? And so we're going to be looking at a request by Caleb to finish out the conquest of the land of Canaan. Now, if you'll show the next slide, there you see Judah, the tribe of Judah there in the light green. And right there in the on the right-hand side to the east is, in the center, is Hebron. And that's where our setting for this story is all about. And that's conquering that area there for the nation of Israel and for an inheritance for Caleb. Now, I want you to see that what he was asking for was very strategic, and that it would be strategic in the years to come. And so it's very important. All right, number one, as we look at chapter 14, we want to see Caleb claiming the promise that God had given to him. Let me just read a number of verses here, starting in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Now let me stop there for a moment. If you put up the first slide, you'll see where the bottom arrow comes around, the green. In that area was where the 12 spies had searched out the land. That was the area right there where that green arrow was. And so they are now talking about that part of Canaan for the inheritance, part of that for Caleb. Just wanted to mention that. So Caleb had been there. His feet had trodden on it. Back 40 years before, he had seen all of this. All right, we'll go on to verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. The very place that caused the spies to tremble, Caleb said, I want to finish this out, and I'm going to do it myself. I think that's great. Give me this mountain. He is claiming the promise. Wearsby says, since Caleb belonged to the tribe of Judah and had been one of the two faithful spies, he received his inheritance first. Joshua, the other spy, was the last to receive his inheritance. Caleb reminded his friend Joshua of the promise Moses had made to them 45 years before, that they would survive the years of wandering and receive their inheritance in the land. This promise gave Joshua and Caleb joy and courage as they endured years of wandering and waiting. Let me say this. This isn't a key part of the message, but when God gives a promise and God is working, waiting on the Lord is very important. They waited 45 years and then got their inheritance. And God did what he says. And some of the greatest strengthening times in our life are the times in which we believe God, even if we don't see the fulfillment of it at the moment. We go forward doing exactly what God wants us to do, and God will always fulfill his word. Well, as he's claiming the promise, he was confident because of God's word. God gave him a specific promise. Earlier in this section here, he makes it very clear that Moses had swear on the behalf of the Lord that he would have this. In Numbers, this is clearly stated. So he was given God's own specific promise. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, folks, we get sort of excited when we think about Caleb. We think about him coming to the mountain there at Hebron, the place where Abraham had been and had lived, and where Abraham and Leah were buried, and this very sacred ground where Jacob had been buried. And as we think about this and him believing God, as there still were very strong warriors living in that area. And yet, folks, when you start looking at the New Testament and the promises that God has given to us, it is amazing. Way beyond what Caleb received. Great and precious promises. Look at that verse there, 2 Peter 1:4, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Christ is in us. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. We can have the fulfillment of God's will accomplished in us. Great and precious promises that God wants us as believers to claim. Folks, if God said it and you are applying it properly, that's as strong a word as you're going to get in any part of life. God's word can be trusted. And oh, so many could give testimonies. I love this testimony of the Hillises. They were missionaries in China, Dick and Margaret, during the Japanese invasion. And they lived with their two children in the inland town of Shinkyu. And the village was very tense, and they were really becoming terrified because of the reports of the Japanese advance. At the worst possible time, Dick had an attack of appendicitis. And he knew if he did not get to the medical compound, he wouldn't make it. So in a rickshaw, he was taken a long journey. And so on January 15, 1941, Margaret watched him leave. She had great foreboding, obviously. Soon the Chinese colonel that was in the area came with the news. The enemy was near and the townspeople must evacuate. But she shivered. She knew she couldn't leave. And knowing that the one-year-old Johnny and their two-year-old Margaret Ann would never survive, so she stayed put. She determined to put her trust in God during that time. Well, early the next morning, she had a beautiful calendar up on her wall, and it had verses, and it'd have a verse for a day. So she tore it off, and what she read was Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So she determined to do that. Well, the town emptied during the day, and the next morning, she was alone, feeling abandoned. The next verse on the next day was Psalm 9:10, "Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him." Seek thee. The next morning, she arose to the distant sounds of gunfire and worried about food for her children. The calendar verse was Genesis 50:21, "I will nourish you and your little ones." An old woman suddenly popped in with a pail of steaming goat's milk, and another straggler arrived with a basket of eggs. Through the day, sounds of warfare grew louder, and during the night, Margaret prayed for deliverance. The next morning, she tore the page from the calendar to read Psalm 56:9, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back." She claimed that promise. The battle looming closer. She didn't go to bed that night. Invasion seemed imminent, but the next morning, all was quiet. Suddenly, villagers began returning to their homes, and the colonel knocked on the door. For some reason, he told her, the Japanese had withdrawn their troops. No one could understand it, but the danger had passed. They were safe. She looked up at her wall calendar and felt she had been reading the handwriting of God. She had been. Now, that's, of course, a sensational story, but you know, all of our stories are sensational because we're constantly interacting with life and with God. And there are great promises that are directly applicable to our lives, what He wants us to do, and we need to specifically claim that. That's exactly what Caleb was doing. He comes to them, and he's in verse 6, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." God has said it. I am claiming it. And my friends, when God gives clear direction through His word, we can be confident in it. He was also confident because of God's provision throughout the time. Looking back at this text, he said, he gives the background that he stood firm and believed in God. And then he says in verse 10, "The Lord hath kept me alive these 40 and 5 years. Here I am. God did what He said." In other words, I can claim what God has said about the future because God has kept His word about the past. And then he goes on into verse 11, "Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." You can imagine all of these warriors that went into the land and they're going forth, and they are 40 years younger than Caleb. But there he is outdoing those guys. And that had got to be quite a sensation. They all knew about Caleb. They knew Caleb's testimony and his story. He said, "God help me." And by the way, over that 38-year time in the wilderness, had God ever let anyone down? Food in the morning, food at night, water when they needed it, clothes did not get old, God's presence was there. Everything they needed, they had, even though they couldn't go into the land because of their rebellion. So he knew that God had kept His word. God had kept him alive. He was a living testimony that the God of heaven rules. And so that was a great strengthening. We can't help but think of Lamentations 3:22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope," or have confidence in Him. And so God had kept his promises. Hess says in his commentary, Caleb refers to Moses' promise and the faithfulness of God in maintaining him alive for 45 years. The temporal references bridges the gap between the past promise and its present fulfillment. Joshua, as Moses' successor, is the appropriate representative for fulfilling the promise. The mention of the strength and vigor of Caleb emphasizes both that he is the same person who received the earlier promises and that he is physically capable of acquiring the allotment that was promised to him. Indeed, the confession that God kept Caleb alive suggests that Caleb's present certainty of his prowess is divinely guaranteed. Now, here you have this 85-year-old man, and he said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to take that inheritance from the men that are there and the giants that are there. Now, human impossibility? Yeah. But the same God that had divinely empowered Caleb all the way through the time, everybody knew that was the same God that would take care of him and those that would fight with him. And it's a tremendous thing, the confidence, because he knew that God had already kept his promise, kept him alive, kept him strong. And for 5 years, he had been right in the center of the battle against some of the strongest armies in the Middle East at that time. And he had been able to see God work through him. And he was confident because of God's conquest. As I just mentioned, he had seen the walls of Jericho fall. He had seen God bring down Ai. He saw what happened when they didn't seek the Lord at Gibeon. Then the kings of the south, the kings of the north, hailstones from heaven, powerful working of God, the sun standing still and the moon standing still. That has not happened before or after. Caleb saw it with his own eyes. And so when he came to this time, he had confidence. God's done it before. He's going to do it again. Now, again, Caleb had that same kind of attitude 40 years before, because he had seen what had happened in Egypt, how God had brought the plagues and then brought them through the Red Sea and all of his provision. Every one of the people of Israel should have seen that. But Caleb had now evidenced victory again. Folks, let me say this strongly. To go forward in victory means that you need to be asking God for daily victories. Every day is a battle. Every day a battle with the flesh, with the world, and with Satan. Every day we are asked to do things that we are not humanly capable of doing, but God will do it. When we live according to our own flesh, our own human strength, we fail, we feel weak, we accomplish things through our own ingenuity, and none of that produces what we know down deep God wants to see accomplished. And we begin to get distracted, and our whole perspective on life is extremely limited. But if we're living to where we see God answer prayer here and God work through us, and we're able to be a spokesman for divinity by giving the gospel or by discipling someone or proclaiming the truth, and we see God move into the lives and hearts of other people and God provide for us miraculously in the financial realm or in the health realm or in the matter of giving wisdom, just even clarity for which step to take day by day. When you come to a big decision, when you want to claim a major promise, you can claim it with faith when you have been seeing it happen right along. And let me just say, parents, that's the kind of life we've got to live as parents. Our young people need to be part of the army that conquers the land of Canaan. They need to know that God is working. God answers prayer. His promises are real. This is not some nice idea or some theology that we need to believe. It is, but it's far more than that. It's a God that we serve. And my friends, he's no less powerful today. He is no less burdened today. The need is great today. He is ready for God's people to claim those promises. And so this was on the part of Caleb. He knew God had said it. He had seen God provide for him, and he had been part of the battle, and he knew God could do it. And so he's ready to go. You know, isn't that how we ought to live? And a lot of times we're missing that because, listen, the will of God, the plan that God has for us is not right in our comfort zone. In fact, the plan of God that's going to make an eternal difference always, always, always is impossible without God. You say, well, Pastor, why can't I just, I can't seem to get a hold of what the will of God is, or I just don't seem to see much happen in our life, my life. Well, the problem is you're trying to size it up humanly. You're trying to figure out how you can do it yourself, and you're going to always come up empty. You may do some things that are good, but down in your heart of hearts, you know, this isn't what God really wants. But when we realize that God's plan will always be backed up by God's power, and we're willing to step out of our comfort zone, maybe change our priorities, and do what God wants us to do, that's when we begin to see the God of heaven do what he did for the nation of Israel. Well, receiving of the promise, second and last point here. This was a definite request. We've already mentioned this. He was very specific. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. And he goes on and says, this is the land, and I claim it. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. Listen, folks, if we will seek the Lord and let God work in our heart and get a hold of what God has for us from his word, when we begin to get clarity on this aspect of what he wants us to pray about, this endeavor that he wants us to take a step of faith about, when we get it specifically, we need to then be very definite in claiming that with the Lord. And God will answer that which he clearly has guided us to request. Now, he had to request this, I want you to notice it, the mountain, and then he had to go, and we'll see that next time, and get it. It just didn't come. And that's why believing God is so key. The problem is we'd like to see God work, thy will be done, but we're not real specific, because if we're specific, that means we're going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to take some scary steps. We're going to have to do some things to get us out of our comfort zone. But the minute we're willing to do that, and then we make that request, you are now getting right in the middle of seeing God move in your life. He was very specific. The following story was told by a missionary. These two men, one in India and China, were very much used of God. I remember before going out to India, sitting down with my roommate now in China and saying to him, what are we going to tell them out there on the field? Are we merely going to tell them about Christ? If so, it would be cheaper to send out Bibles and tracts. Can we tell them that we know Jesus Christ saves and satisfies, that he keeps us more than conquerors day by day? I said, I'm not satisfied. I do not feel that I have a real message such as I need for men out there, nor the experience, nor the power. If we have not, it's not the one great thing we need before we leave this country. To know him, isn't that it? From that day to the end of our student days, we rose every morning at 5 o'clock, spent an unhurried hour with the word of God, and from 6 to 7, an unhurried hour for prayer. These 2 hours each day changed our lives and our outlook upon our missionary work. They got a hold of what God's will was, and they claimed it, and guess what? God did it. God did it. And it was a bold proclamation. He makes it in front of Joshua and the tribe of Judah and the people of Israel. He was not afraid to declare ahead of time, if God be with him, we'll take this mountain. God has given this to me as an inheritance. I'm willing to request it, and I am willing to then apprehend it by the power of God. Acts 27:25, Paul was not afraid to declare what he knew. When he was in the midst of a storm that was supposed to sink that ship, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Ironside, in his commentary, says, Caleb, though 85 years of age, came to Joshua to remind him of the promise that Moses had made, that because he had wholly followed the Lord, he should have whatever inheritance his heart desired. He did not look about for some secluded valley where he would be safe from the prying eyes of enemies, nor did he ask for some town or village from which the Canaanites had been driven out already, but he requested Joshua to give him the mountain on which Kirjath Arba was located. Arba was a great man among the Anakims. Kirjath Arba meant the city of Arba. The Anakims still dwell there, but strong in faith. And by the way, those were the giants. Caleb declared, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And so he was bold in his declaration that God would do what he had promised, that he was ready to believe God. He didn't just silently in prayer say that. Listen, one of the keys when you're really walking with God and you are yielded to him and you're moving forward and there are key things you're praying about, that when God applies the word of God and stirs your heart about it, you're willing to say, "God's going to do this." And there is a boldness that comes with that. How bold are we about our God? I was told that in one of his speeches to the soldiers of the First World War, General Pershing said, "I have known Jesus Christ now for 47 years, and I could not face life without him. It is no small thing to know that all the past is forgiven, that help is available from God every day." Then continued this stalwart general, "I commend such a Savior to you." You know, we've been stirred about some in recent days as we think of the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. The bold proclamation of the gospel is still being heard around the world. But we're afraid to say, "This is our God." We're afraid to say, "Thus saith the Lord." We're afraid to say, "God has given me this inheritance." We're afraid to say that God will do as he has said. And let me conclude with this. He apprehended this. It was given to him because of his intense loyalty. He wanted to take the mountain and to conquer the people that caused the 10 spies to bring unbelief to the land or to the people of Israel. He loved the Lord his God, and it broke his heart when you look what had happened. Look at the testimony of God where the people had to wander for all those years. Yes, there was a fear of God in the hearts of the Canaanites, but I'm sure they wondered about what's the ability of their God. And so what he chose was the very place that had put fear into the hearts of those people. Those spies, they were giants. They came down from you have that line of giants that we find going all the way back to the flood. Satan has a part of this. These were powerful men. But he wanted to finish. He wanted to have the privilege of putting the exclamation mark on the Canaan conquest. "I'm going to take as my inheritance the area around Hebron where the giants live. And I want this generation to know that my God is able." An impossibility. And so remember the previous name of Hebron was Kiriath Arba. And this was a major, major holdback to the people of Israel. Now, let me just share this in conclusion. Do you want, more than anything, to see God so use your life that everybody knows God's real? Think of all of the ways that God is mocked and cursed. Look at the weakness of a lot of Bible Christianity. Look at the capitulation of a lot of Bible Christianity. Don't you think it's time for Caleb's to rise up, be all in, fully committed to Christ, and to show that the Word of God is true. I'm telling you, friends, this ought to be a burning passion in our hearts. We need some people that don't look for the easy road, but look for the hard road. Don't look for the possible, but look for the impossible. You say, what does that mean for me? God will show you what it means for you. But I'll guarantee you, it's believing God for people that you know. It's believing God to do things that can only be explained by the power of God. If you're walking with God, God's going to stir you about, I want your life to now focus on this. But Lord, I can't do it. You're exactly right. That's why I want you to do it, because I can do it. I want you to know, and everybody around you, that that's a miracle that you're being used of God like that. There are so many more in an audience like this that have ministries that God is ready to empower. But we limit ourselves. I tell you what, we need some folks here to stand up and say, give me that mountain. I want God to be glorified. I'm tired of him being mocked. This is my responsibility, and I know I can't do it, but by God's grace, I'm going to do it. There's a lot of places in this area that there needs to be bold witnesses. I thank God for the men and women that are in many different places in different parts of our community, from the jails to the areas of different places that are not easy, from the business world to whatever. Places that God can show himself strong and where God can transform lives. There is so much that he can do. But we often allow ourselves to look at the human reality and not really believe God. You think God was honored, and we'll look at it next 2 weeks from now. You think God was honored when that old man Caleb took the mountain? I can tell you, a lot of young Israelites looked at that. It's real. It's real. God honors those who are all in.